Praise God, hallelujah, glory to God forevermore. You're welcome to another episode of Every Day with Jesus podcast. And we've been studying Matthew chapter 5, 14, 15, and 16. You are the light of the world. Verse 16 says, let your light so shine before men that you may glorify your Father which is in heaven. And at verse 15, it says, neither do men light a lamp and hide it under a basket, but you put it on a lampstand that may give light to everyone in the house. Praise God. And at verse 14, amen. At verse 14, it says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. That's where we got the title of this teaching. It's been a great time learning from the word of God. Hallelujah. Okay, so today we're just going to make progress. In the last episode, we closed with John 14, 10 to 12. Amen. John 14, 10 to 12. Where we saw that the good works are things done through us by the Father. Amen. And that has been the emphasis of this particular series so far, in which I've maintained and insisted that when the Bible says, let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven, we must not assume that the good works are just any kind of good works. Amen. But I have insisted that the good works are to be defined from the Bible, from the Word of God. Amen. And the emphasis so far has been on how the good works in Christ begin with the preaching of the gospel. John 14, 10 to 12. The good works begin with the preaching of the gospel. Amen. So I haven't said giving alms to the poor is not good work. It's not a good work. I haven't said, what else now? Supporting people, helping out people. What else? We're going to look through scriptures and find different kinds of good works. Today, I haven't said those things are not good works. But then, the good works must be subject to the preaching of the gospel. That is, we must derive our identity first from the preaching of the gospel. We must be known as men who are shining the light of Christ. First as men who are shining the light of Christ before we are known as, you know, just some generous guy up there or some philanthropist down the road. Do you get what I'm saying? Otherwise, people will not be able to make a distinction between you as a Christian and just anybody out there. We saw the example of Cornelius. So men can be generous, they can be good, they can have enviable qualities even without being Christians. So if you are banking on all those kind of good works alone to shine as the light of Christ, then you are going to be failing where it matters most. Amen. Because you don't shine as the light as a believer until you are given to the proclamation and the preaching of the gospel of Christ. You must bear witness to the light, which is Christ. John 14, 10 to 12. Praise God. Bible says, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Amen. Now, if you look at it very well, Jesus says, the words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Amen. So what is this showing you right there? Jesus is showing us in that place that the word, the ministry of speaking the word of God, is the same as doing the work of God. Because he says, the words that I speak to you, I do not on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. What he refers to as doing the works is the words he was speaking. Hallelujah. Or the word which he was speaking. That is a work in itself. Glory to God. That's why ministry is a work. Ministry is labor. The ministry of the word, the preaching of the gospel is work. It's a labor. Hallelujah. And then at verse 11, it says, believe in me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Hallelujah. For the sake of the works themselves. It now says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than this shall he do, because I go to my Father. Now if you get to Mark 16, 15 down to 17, glory to God, which work did Jesus commission the church to do? What work have we been sent to do and to finish? Glory to God. Mark's Gospel 16. And then we'll come to John 4. So, preaching the gospel is doing a good work. Hallelujah. That is the starting point to doing the good works by which men will see us and glorify the Father in heaven. Mark 16. And I'll read from verse 15. We are connecting this or juxtaposing this with John 14, 12, which says, he who believes in me, the very works that I do, shall he do also. Mark 16, 15, Bible says, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who is baptized, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So Jesus, who said to men at Matthew 5, 14, you are the light of the world, praise God, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. You are the light of the world. This Jesus that said that about his disciples, at the close of his ministry on the face of the earth, now commissions them to go and preach the word. Amen. Now, in the environment of preaching the word, other things would accompany, other things will follow. But then the preaching of the gospel is at the forefront of the work that Jesus has given to his church, the work that Jesus has committed to us. Glory to Jesus. Look at John chapter 4. Jesus refers to the ministry of the word as the work which the Father has given unto him. So that's the good work. Amen. So the good work begins with preaching and proclaiming Jesus as the Christ. John chapter 4. Hallelujah. Look at this carefully. John 4. Let me just quickly give a background to this chapter of the Bible in case you are not familiar with it. Even if you are, let's just have a background to this. Of course, at John 4, Jesus was weary, he was tired. Weary, tired, and then he was looking for a place to rest. Then his disciples went away from that region to get him food, something to eat. And then while he waited, a woman came to the well, and Jesus requested for water. And the woman began to question, okay, why are you trying to have dealings or conversations with a Samaritan woman? Don't you know it's forbidden and things like that? Praise God. But Jesus persisted, and a lot of conversations ensued. And then Jesus says, the time is coming when the worshippers will worship God in spirit and in truth. You don't worship God in Jerusalem anymore, and you have to worship God on this mountain. That is, the worship of God will not be restricted to any physical location. But the hour is coming, and now is when the true worshippers worship the Father in spirit and in truth. So, a whole lot of conversations. Jesus gave her a word of knowledge about marital life or marital state. Glory to God. And then, when disciples came back, they found out that the master was already so engrossed with a conversation. They found out he was discussing. This was somebody who was weary and was tired, needing rest. He was already engrossed in the conversation. The woman left. They were beseeching him to eat, and he wasn't going to eat. Glory to God. He wasn't going to eat. The Bible says that John chapter 4, verse 31, in the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Therefore, the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Hallelujah. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. What was the work in here? It was preaching. Glory to God. It was preaching. And then he says at verse 35, do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. Amen. So Jesus was talking about the preaching of the gospel and the harvest of souls that will come by the same. And he was excited about it. And that is what he refers to as doing the work that the Father has committed to him. Glory to God. Look at Luke's gospel. Luke's gospel chapter 10. Hallelujah. So preaching the gospel is a good work. And that is the starting point for doing good works in Christ. It is first about preaching. Amen. It is first about what? Preaching the gospel of Christ. Luke's gospel, chapter 10. Glory to God. Bible says, after these things, from verse 1, the Lord appointed 70 others also, and he sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where himself was about to go. Then he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. The harvest is great, but the laborers, hallelujah, laborers, men who are given to toiling and working and laboring, hallelujah. See that preaching the gospel is work. Glory to God. Which is the reason why a lot of people run away from it. Hallelujah. And then they find it more convenient to embrace the narrative that says, because you are not a pastor, your own career at your workplace is your own ministry. Amen. You know, that's more convenient because if I embrace that, I need not do the extra work of having to engage somebody, having to preach to someone, having to nurture somebody, having to disciple this person and follow up on that person. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it's a much more convenient narrative. It suits me. Amen. I go to work all day. I work from morning till evening. I come back late in the night. And then, you know, somebody is still telling me I still have to preach the gospel to people. Amen. And on Saturdays, I still have to, you know, join them in the church to go and preach, deliberately reach out to people. During the week, even, you know, while coming back from work, I can follow up on people, check up on this person, reach out to a disciple during the week. So it's more convenient to embrace the narrative of everybody's ministry is whatever your hand finds doing. Amen. Hallelujah. If you're a footballer, that's your own ministry. How convenient. If you're a doctor, that's your own ministry. How convenient. That's not what the Bible teaches. Glory to God. So the good works begin with the preaching of the gospel. That is the good works by which the Father is glorified through us or glorified in us. These works are works of faith. Amen. They are works of faith. See 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2 to 3. They are works of faith. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Works of faith. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 2 to 3. Praise God. So in the next section, I'm going to show us other good works in the Bible. And we're going to see how they are taught, how they are presented. Glory to God. So there are other good works, but the emphasis so far has been on the starting point. Not that all the good works are about preaching, but the gospel must never be relegated to the background. Amen. So, let's be very clear. I'm not saying, and I haven't said, that all the good works we are required to do in Christ are about preaching. But the gospel must never be relegated to the background. Amen. Why? Because that is the light. Hallelujah. So, if I'm thinking of shining as the light, I can't be thinking of doing every other thing and then the gospel is now secondary. No! The gospel must have first place. It must be at the forefront of my activities as a Christian. Amen. So, because that is the light. So, like I said in the previous episodes, the things that made men glorify God in the ministry of Christ and his apostles, they are supernatural exploits. Amen. Hallelujah. So, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And I'll read verse 2 to 3. Bible says, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Savior. Your work of faith, labor of love. Have you seen? The works by which men will glorify God are works of faith. Amen. Works of faith. James 2:18. James chapter 2, verse 18. Glory to God. James chapter 2. In verse 18, works of faith. Look at this carefully. Bible says, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works and I will show you my faith by my works. So the works by which men will know that I am in the faith are called works of faith. Amen. The works that prove to men or show or reveal to men that I'm a believer are works of faith. Hallelujah. So in the ministry of Jesus, the things that made men glorify God are not just any kind of works, ordinary things. No. They are supernatural exploits. And we explored this in one of the teachings, but let's see the other places in this particular teaching. We saw Matthew 9:8, we saw Matthew 15:31, we saw Mark 2:12, we saw Luke 4:15. Then this time around, let's see Luke chapter 5, verse 26. The kind of works, the kind of things that men saw that made them glorify God in the ministry of Jesus and the apostles were supernatural exploits. Hallelujah. Supernatural exploits. Luke 5 and verse 26. Glory to God. Luke chapter 5 and verse 26. I'm still trying to get there, located in my Bible. Luke 5:26. Bible says, and they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. Why were they amazed? Hallelujah. Why exactly were these men amazed? Glory to God. If you read from the beginning, hallelujah, not the beginning, from verse 17, Bible says, now it happened on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Hallelujah. Then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. When he saw their faith, he said to him, man, your sins are forgiven you. Glory to God. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Immediately he rose up before them, took up what he had been lying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. Hallelujah. Glorifying God. So the man was glorifying God because he had received the healing power of God. He was a recipient. He had just become a recipient of the healing power of God. So he glorified God. In verse 26, they all were amazed also, and they glorified God. So did you see what they saw that made them glorify God? Supernatural exploits. Amen. The healing of a sick man. Luke chapter 7 and verse 16. Glory to God. Luke 7, 16. Hallelujah. Luke 7, 16. Bible says, then fear came upon all, and they glorified God, saying, a great prophet has risen up among us, and God has visited his people. Hallelujah. God has visited his people. What did they see? Amen. From verse 11, Bible says, now it happened the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him in a large crowd. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, do not weep. Then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. And he said, young man, I say to you, arise. So he who was dead sat up and began to speak, and he presented him to his mother. Then fear came upon all, and they glorified God. Hallelujah. See what made them glorify God? Another supernatural exploit. Luke 13 and 13. Glory to God. Luke 13, 13. Hallelujah. Luke 13, 13. Bible says, and he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Glory to God. Immediately she was made well and she glorified God. She was made straight immediately and she glorified God. This was somebody who had an infirmity for 18 years. You see that again? Supernatural exploit. Luke 17, 15. Glory be to God. Luke 17 and verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. This was another supernatural encounter. Healing. He returned and glorified God. Hallelujah. Luke 17:15. That's what we saw. Now look at John 11:4. John chapter 11 and verse 4. Praise God. John 11:4. When Jesus heard that, he said, "The sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." This was about Lazarus. He was sick and he was going to die. And Jesus says, God will be glorified through it. That is through raising him from the dead. Glory to God. Acts 4:21. See another account. Acts 4:21. Glory to God. Acts 4:21. Bible says, from verse 21 of Acts 4. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. What was done? Verse 22. For the man was over 40 years, on whom the miracle of healing had been performed. So you see again what made men glorify God. Another supernatural encounter. Glory to God. These are supernatural exploits. Amen. And these are things that accompany the preaching of the gospel. If you look at it very well, all the instances are things done in the environment of the gospel of Christ. Praise God. Because it's in this way we shine as lights primarily. The reason why men will glorify the Father when they see these works is because they are done through us by the Father, by the Spirit of God at work in us. Amen. So the good works are things that make men marvel and wonder. Things that make them realize God is at work in us. These are things found in the gospel. Until a believer gives himself to these works, is not positioned as a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Amen. And I think I asked us earlier, when men need to see God's power, do they remember your name? When men want to hear the gospel, does your name cross their minds? If the answer is no, you must begin to position yourself rightly from today. Hallelujah. Without the preaching of the gospel, you are not shining as the light that God made you. Glory to God. So we're going to continue from here. And then we're going to have a time of prayer again, just like we had yesterday. Don't get off the broadcast. Join the prayer session. It is for a purpose. Amen. So don't forget to tune in tomorrow. Invite your friends, family members, classmates, colleagues, friends. And let's come together to have a great time in the Word of God. And don't forget to have a great day of being full of the Word, full of faith, full of the Holy Ghost, full of power, full of spiritual songs. And be a blessing to somebody. See you in the next episode.